The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
Good morning, everyone. We begin with an unarguably dramatic story down there in Chile.
Arguably, I think, objectively.
And let's hope it's an upbeat story as it unfolds this week.
Well, so far it has been an amazing upbeat story about the resilience of the human spirit.
They're all, as Eva Salinas was telling us there at the top of the hour, they're all sort of standing in front of each other saying, I'll be the last one out, I'll be the last one out. And if all goes according to plan, starting on Wednesday, 48 hours later, they may all be rescued.
So by Friday evening.
That's right. So which requires the steelier nerves? Going in the capsule, the 15 minutes from the mine to the top, being in charge of the rescue operation, making sure all 33 of them get out, being one of the family members.
Waiting at the top.
Waiting at the bottom. Which one? Which would you rather do?
The 20-minute ride in that little capsule. Yeah, that would freak me out.
Well, joining us now, Eva Salinas once more from Copiapa in Chile, waiting the result of the rescue operation there of those Chilean miners. Eva, good morning once again.
Good morning.
We should remind everyone she's the editor of the Santiago Times. Colonel Tom Kolditz also joins us. He's the chairman of the Department of Behavioral Sciences and Leadership at West Point, the U.S. Army Academy. Colonel, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Which is the worst? Being at the bottom waiting, being in the capsule, being at the top waiting? Who do you think has to have the nerves of steel here?
Well, I think that's an individual difference. You know, there are 33 people down at the bottom and many on top that are pulling for them. So I really think it's an individual difference. I don't think one of those places is inherently more anxiety-producing.
Well, Eva Salinas, where are the risks? As people begin to brief you and the reporters that have been standing by down there really since August, where are the risks? Is it in that capsule coming up to the surface? Is it something about delivering air to the miners? Is it the fear of panic?
Yeah, they have said this week that part, that journey from the ground to the surface will be the riskiest part they've ever done operation. And that's mostly because it involves human life. So although, you know, the rock has been vulnerable and there could have been a chance of another collapse, of course, in their drilling, breaks, and that's about it. It's the machine that they could harm, and here it's obviously the person that they could harm. And the rock is a bit curved at places. The capsule could snag on rock. As you mentioned, it's the anxiety they expect. So need to have the capsule controlled very, very well so it doesn't wobble around within the hole. There's not much room for it to do so, but it can. And with some movement, it could cause a lot of panic. And that doesn't seem, you know, like a big deal. Like, of course, they're going to panic. But they do need to make sure that the mine as possible, because any sort of anxiety could really put them over the edge.
It's Eva Salinas, editor of the Santiago Times, on the line from Copiapo, Chile, which is the mine site where those 33 miners are waiting to come out, possibly as soon as Wednesday. So what factors can you control, Colonel Tom Kolditz, in a situation like this, panic, et cetera? And I gather the strength of the rock those miners will be pulled through, there's nothing they can do about that. They just have to hope for the best. What do you control?
Well, you control as much as you can, and the more control that can be given over to the miners, even if it's just a matter of a communications device in the capsule, the better. The big psychological challenge that they've had since they've been trapped is a loss of personal control, and that will peak when they're in that tiny little capsule, being moved to the top, unable to really move or affect their destiny in any way. So any amount of control or communication would be helpful.
So, Colonel, we're hearing reports that the first miners that come out will actually be assisting them as they pull the others out. Is that maybe, do you think, what they'll be doing, that the miners that are rescued first may be speaking to the others?
Well, they could be, and the fact that they're going to involve them in the rescue is just brilliant. I mean, that's exactly the kind of self-determination that these people need as soon as possible after they're released.
Well, Tom, we've heard that they're giving as a precautionary measure aspirins to all of the miners to prevent clotting and to keep their blood thin so that they don't result in embolisms, which, of course, can be fatal, as we know. But I'm wondering if this would argue for, you know, sending a bunch of sedatives down there. Do you want people at their peak of alertness, or do you want them a little doped out to prevent panic?
Well, you know, sedatives have their own set of risks, and I think most of the individuals for a short period of time are going to be able to handle this ride to freedom. It's going to be framed properly for them when they get ready to go, and I think that they're going to understand that the discomfort that they're going to suffer on the way up has a huge reward at the end.
Eva Salinas, that's Colonel Tom Koldus, who's chairman of the Department of Behavioral Sciences at West Point. Eva Salinas, who has emerged down there in the mine as a leader? Are there personalities whose actions down in the mine have come forth and been written about and is starting to make the folklore of this entire event come to life? Or are those stories, we're going to learn about them when these miners come to the surface?
Yeah, we've certainly heard a few stories anyway, a few personalities, and I think those have been the ones who will get mobbed most by media when they first come out. And those have been, one, the oldest miner, Mario Gomez. He's 63. He's been mining since he was 12, and he's been kind of the father of the group. There's another that has played kind of the spiritual leader of the group. There's the man who's been filming the group for all the video they've been sending up to their families and to the government, and he's kind of been very playful, and they suspect he's going to get a lot of TV offers comes up, and there's a few others who have led the kind of work aspect. So yeah, no, there has definitely been a few that have really come forward kind of naturally and taken a few of the roles.
Eva, before we go, is the nation of Chile ready to take a breath finally?
Yeah, after that drill broke through Saturday, it was a complete change in the country and on the mindset. Families, and everybody is so ready for this. There's going to be a huge party in the country and near the mine and just all over. It's going to be amazing.
We're ready, too. At Copiapó, Chile, the mine site where those 33 miners are awaiting rescue, that's Eva Salinas, editor of the Santiago Times. We are also joined by Colonel Tom Kolditz from West Point.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.